In this day of owning everything in sight, everybody owns this, everybody owns that, I'm going to take a step out and I'm going to share with you something I've been listening to all morning, and actually for the last year or so, I believe I've been listening to this this URL. I'll give you the URL. It's called wisdomoftheelders.org. I'm going to play a little bit of this. Let's see, what is it called? I can't tell you the name of it, but it'll tell you on this. I'm going to play until the 5 minute runs out. After that, you probably won't hear the entire story, but after that, just go to wisdomoftheelders.org, because I think it's something that us elder people, I just turned 62, we should pass this kind of stuff on. People don't own everything.
I'm Arlie Nesky, and you're listening to Wisdom of the Elders. On today's program, honoring Native women, we pay tribute to a brave and courageous young Asante woman. Barbara Roberts introduces us to Zona Lone's Arrow of Fort Yates, North Dakota, on the Standing Rock Indian Reservation. Zona tells a story of her great-grandmother who was captured by the Blood Band of the Blackfeet Nation.
The raiding party of the Blood Band attacked the Asante Sioux hunting camp that kidnapped the teenaged girls. None of them were older than 13 or 14. They rode north on horseback into what is now Canada. Among those girls was Zona's grandmother.
In her mind, she marked the places they went and what hill and what water, the trees and even the mountains, and how many days they rode and what happened to them. And so my grandmother, she taught me how to observe. She wanted to get back to her people. That's all she had in mind.
Wrenched from her home in an extraordinary test of will, she learned how to survive for the 4 or 5 years she remained with the enemy. Survival meant being a faithful companion and servant.
And this man that stole her had 3 other wives. Now she observed him, what he does. She was a good rope maker. She tanned the hides, and so she made some ropes for him and kept some for herself. She was making moccasins for herself as well as her husband. She'd make dry meat and make some more bags for water and stuff. She would give it to her husband, and she kept some. She took them and hid them in the mountains, in a cave someplace. She hid all these provisions that she was going to one day pick up and go.
The seasons came and went. Then it was the dead of winter. The weather was treacherous, but she knew the time had come to make the 1,000-mile journey home.
And this winter is the time now that she was going to escape. Sure enough, the night came. The day came when it woke up to blizzard. She opened the back of her tent. Out she went.
The reason for leaving during a blizzard is as frightening as it is ingenious.
That blizzard, it blew snow, so they couldn't track her. See, that's another thing of wisdom she knew. So she went, and she went to her cave. She dug snow and she went inside and she got her provisions out. She fixed them up and put them on her back.
By that time, it was daybreak. She had water, dried meat, and dried berries to keep her going. She was wearing snowshoes she'd made specifically for this moment.
She snuck out of that cave and she walked. She walked south, she said, from where the sun comes up. She went towards the Itokaha. And that's south, she said. She walked, walked and walked till daybreak.
When she needed rest, she'd huddle up in snow shelters that she'd dig out for herself.
She was always a slim woman, so, and strong, so she don't eat very much. She had dried berries and stuff that she had, so she ate some, and then she said by the fourth day she passed that mountain where a chief is lying down with his war bonnet. That's called Chief Mountain, I guess, now. And that tells me that she was still in Canada.
Okay, for the rest of this, go to Wisdom.